إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته فلا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، إن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise is due to Allah. We know in Him, beseech His help, and in Him we seek forgiveness. And we seek refuge of Allah from the mischiefs of our souls and from the wrongdoings of all of our actions. Whomever Allah guides, no one will be able to lead him astray. And whomever Allah leads left astray, no one will be able to guide him. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deed except Allah. He's alone, he has no partners. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah with the fear that is due to him and do not die except as Muslim. O human beings, fear your Lord who created you from one soul and from that one soul estate, and from the two of them, men and women spread abroad in multitudes. Remember the wombs that bore you and keep relations of family ties among you, for surely Allah is a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct. Allah will repair all of your affairs to you and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have achieved the greatest of success in this life and the next. As foot proceeds, surely the best speech is the book of Allah. This guidance is the guidance of our beloved Prophet Muhammad and his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of all affairs in this noble deen of al-Islam are newly invented matters. For every newly invented matter is an innovation, and every innovation is a going astray, and every astray is in the hellfire. Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he said in his noble precious book Salafatul Usul, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, اعلم رحمك الله أنه يجب علينا تعلم أربع مسائل. الأولى العلم، وهو معرفة الله ومعرفة نبيه ومعرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة. الثانية العمل به. الثالثة الدعوة إليه. الرابعة الصبر على الأذى فيه. والدليل قوله تعالى والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. قال الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى لو ما أنزل الله حجة على خلقه إلا هذه السورة أكفتهم. Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he said no to saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. No, that is K-N-O-W. May Allah have mercy upon you. That it is obligatory upon you to have knowledge of four matters. Number one, knowledge, which is knowledge an awareness of Allah, and knowledge of His Prophet, and knowledge of the religion of Islam with the proof. Number two, the second thing is action upon that, meaning implementing that. Number three, calling to that, making da'wah to that. And number four, patiently persevering and bearing any harm encountered upon that way. The proof is the saying of Allah the Most High, interpretation of the meaning of that surah by time. Mankind is in loss, except for those who truly believe and worship Allah alone, and do righteous deeds, performing that which is obligatory upon them, and avoiding that which they are forbidden, and enjoin one another with patient perseverance upon obedience to Allah, and in face of harms and trials. And of course we know that this is Surah Wal Asr, 101st Surah of the Quran. Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, may Allah have mercy on him, he said, if Allah had set down his creation, no other hujjah, no other proof besides this surah, it would have been sufficient for them. Our beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, dear listeners, barakallahu feekum, I found it to be appropriate to begin this talk that I've been asked or requested of from the brothers of Troy, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to keep their feet firm on Sirat al-Mustaqim and their hearts to be obedient of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His deen. They've requested for me to do this short talk about the virtues of the wise of the callers for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Virtues of the wise of the du'at, the people who call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I found no better way to begin this except by sharing this noble book, Thalathatul Usul, Instruction of Thalathatul Usul, by the Mujaddid of his time, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. And all of us be familiar with this book, because this is a book that the ulama of Islam in our time, they have encouraged us to learn it, and even more in that encouragement, to memorize it and to study it with the people of knowledge, or those students when they have a devoid of the people of knowledge in their area. Of those four things that he, rahimahullah ta'ala, has told us that it is obligatory for us to learn, after learning the knowledge and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the knowledge of His Prophet, alayhi salatu wa salam, and the knowledge of the deen of al-Islam with the proofs and evidences, then acting upon that, meaning with righteous deeds, then the third thing is call to it. It's a call to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our Shaykh, our beloved elder, and our beloved father, rahimahullah ta'ala, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that this calling is the calling to the prescribed way laid down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. And that way is three or four states which Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic, mentioned in His saying, اُضْعُ إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the interpretation and meaning of that ayah, call to the way, prescribed your Lord with wisdom as contained in the book and the sunnah, and with fine admonition, and debate them in the best manner. And Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said, وَالرَّابِعَ, and the fourth is saying in his saying, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ. And do not speak the peace of the book except with the best words, calling to Allah by means of His signs and by drawing attention to the proofs He has provided, except remain obstinately upon unbelief and would rather wage war. And the first surah that we recited, the ayat, is from Surah An-Nahl, chapter number 16, ayah number 125, and the second Surah Al-Ankabut, which is Surah number 29, ayah number 46. Then our beloved elder and father, Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, one of the commentators of this noble book, Fath al-Usul, he said, an essential requirement for this call is knowledge of the prescribed way laid down by Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, so that the call is based upon knowledge and clear evidence. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Say, them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, them, this call to the Tawheed of Allah, and that all worship should be made purely for Allah alone, is my way. I call to Allah alone, ascribing no partner to Him, upon certain knowledge, which is basira. Myself, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who follow me. And Allah is free from all imperfections and partners, and I am free from those who associate everything and worship along with Him. And this is found in the surah called Yusuf, the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, in chapter number 12, ayah 108. So the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he says, a certain knowledge, or the basira, is with regard to that which he calls to. And it means that the caller has knowledge of the Sharia ruling and how the call is to be made, and knows about the condition of those for whom the call is made. Then the Shaykh continues, rahimahullah, that is al-Uthaymeen, he says, وَمَجَالَاتِ دَعْوَةِ كَثِيرَةِ مِنْهَا الدَّعْوَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي الْخِطَابَةِ وَإِلْقَاءِ الْمُحَاضَرَةِ وَمِنْهَا الدَّعْوَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الْمَقَالَاتِ وَمِنْهَا الدَّعْوَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الْحَلَقَاتِ الْعِلْمِ وَمِنْهَا الدَّعْوَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَأْلِيفِ النَّشْرِ عَنْ طَرِيقِ التَّأْلِيفِ ومنها الدعوة إلى الله في مجالس خاصة. فإذا جلس الإنسان مجلس في دعوة مثلا فهذا مجال للدعوة إلى الله عز وجل. ولكن ينبغي أن تكون على وجه لا ملل فيه ولا إثقال. ويحصل هذا بأن يعرض الداعية مسألة علمية على الجالسين ثم تبتدي المناقشة، ومعلوم أن المناقشة والسؤال والجواب له دور كبير في فهم ما أنزل الله على رسوله وتفهيمه، وقد يكون أكثر فعالية من إلقاء الخطبة أو محاضرة إلقاء مرسلا والدعوة إلى الله عز وجل هي وظيفة الرسل عليهم الصلاة والسلام. هذه الشاهد هي وظيفة الرسل عليهم الصلاة والسلام وطريق من تبعهم بإحسان. فإذا عرف الإنسان معبوده ونبيه ودينه ومن الله عليه توفيق لذلك، فإن عليه السعي في إنقاذ إخوانه بدعوتهم إلى الله عز وجل وليبشر بالخير. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعلي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه يوم خيبر، انقذ على رسلك على رسلك حتى تنزل بصحاتهم الحديث. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that the fields of da'wah are many. Calling to Allah, the Most High, by giving speech and lecture. Calling to Allah, writing articles. Calling to Allah, Allah by means of circles of knowledge, calling to Allah by writing books propagating the religion, and calling to Allah gatherings established for particular purposes. And if a person sits in a gathering where he has come due to an invitation to a meal, for example, then this is an opportunity to call to Allah the Mighty and Majestic. However, it should be done in such a way as will not bore or irritate people. This may be achieved by putting forward some matter of knowledge to those present so that a discussion may begin, and it is well known that discussions and questions and answers are of great benefit in understanding what Allah sent down to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in causing others to understand it. It may be more effective than giving an uninterrupted speech or lecture. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen continues in his commentary on this particular topic, on this issue of a da'wah to ilayhi, calling to it. He's calling to Allah the Mighty and Majestic was the duty, and this is the most important part here, the topic for this lecture on Power Talk, calling to Allah the Mighty Majestic was the duty or the occupation of the messenger and was the way of those who followed them upon good. So when a person knows the one whom he has to worship and knows his prophet and his religion and Allah has favored him with that and guided him to it, then he strives to save his brothers by calling them to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, and should be glad to hear of the good tidings which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu on the day of Khaybar. The hadith that says, proceed out hurrying until you reach that territory. Then call to Islam and inform them of the rights of Allah the Most High binding upon them. For by Allah, I swear by Allah, it is better for you that Allah should guide a single man through you than red camels. And this hadith connected by Sahih, the Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih. And also, there is a narration that Shaykh al-Uthaymeen brings that's reported by Imam Muslim, whoever calls guidance, then there is for him a reward like the reward of those who follow him, and that will reduce nothing from their reward. And whoever calls this guidance will have sin upon him like the sins of those who follow him, and that will reduce nothing from their sins. And as we mentioned, this is collected by Imam Muslim. And then finally, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he brings a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also collected by Imam Muslim, من دل على خير فله مثل أجر فاعله. أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Whoever guides to some good, whoever guides or directs someone some good deed, then he or she will receive the reward like that of its doer. With all of this said, this is the backdrop, this is the foundation for the talk, the virtues of five of the du'as or the calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there's no doubt in my mind that the woman who's married to the person who gives da'wah, she gets the reward that that person gets who's making that da'wah, which is her husband. Similar to, but not at the same rank, not at the same extent, as the da'iyah and the real du'as or da'iyah at the top of the list are the prophets and the messengers of Allah. And then those people who follow them in righteousness, like the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the du'as after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the rest of the Anbiya and the Rusul, the prophets and messengers. And then after them the Tabi'un, and then after them the Atba'u Tabi'een, and then after them in the fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh, all the way up to the generations of today, the ulama have the more right to call the du'at, the people who are the callers. And then those people who on a very small scale, a very minuscule scale, a very tiny scale, like myself and those brothers who are calling to Tawheed, Wallahu Musta'an, the wives of the prophets and the messengers, the wives of the Sahaba, the wives of the Tabi'un and the Tabi'in, the wives of the ulama, they have to have such policy because they are going to receive a portion of the reward of the person who has taken the job of the prophets and the messengers. And there are some pros and cons. And I really wish brothers would not have called it the virtues of the wives. I really wish they would have called it the pros and the cons of the wives who are married to the du'as. And the subtitle to this, the pros and cons for the women who are thinking about marrying the people who give power as an occupation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-musta'an. The woman who is married to the person who is giving power has to have some qualities. Because she's going to have pros and she's going to have some cons. She has a job that is a job for a special woman. And we're not saying that the woman who is married to the person who calls to the way of Allah is a special woman within herself. We're saying that the woman who is married to a man who has taken up job full time as a da'iyah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his tawheed, and to call the people to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah and manhaj al-salafi and aqidah al-salafiyyah, then that woman has to be a special woman. Meaning, she has to have qasa'is. She has to have special characteristics, traits, that will make her, that will afford her the opportunity to be able to reap the benefit of being married to a man who has devoted his time on a full-time basis to give da'wah to the people, to call the people for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the virtues or the pros that a woman who's married to one of the people of da'wah, one of the pros or the virtues that she's gained is learning not to waste her time. A woman who is married to one of the du'as, she learns not to waste her time. And if she does that properly, a great virtue. This is a great virtue from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the person who sees their family the least, the person who sees their family the least are the ulama. And the family members, they see their husbands when they're married to the people like Sheikh bin Baz, and they're married to the people like Sheikh al-Albani, and they're married to the people like Sheikh al-Uthaymeen and Sheikh Muqbil, and Sheikh Sarah al-Tawzan, and Sheikh Muhammad Ahmad al-Sami, and Sheikh Ubaid al-Tabidi, and Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi and the like, Hafizuhumullah wa rahimahumullahu tami'an, those family members, their wives typically, they don't see their husbands a lot. And even when their husbands are right there in the house, that wife doesn't spend a lot of time with them. I remember, when we were told about the life of Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he possessed the authenticity of this story, because there's a lot of stories that are spun around Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, but if this is true, then it is a tremendous story, and it is a sign of the virtue of the woman or the women that he was married to, and showed that they are people that have to not waste their time. It was told to me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that Sheikh Abdul Aziz Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, and Allah knows best, we can verify the people who were closer to him, that for 30 some odd years, the Sheikh did not dinner with his wife or his wife. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And I remember the brothers who had the blessing, had the ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to go into Sheikh bin Baz's office at the Haram in Mecca, or at his place in Mecca in his office or in Riyadh. The brothers told me that the Sheikh used to have three or four phones. One phone was for the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, where the people were calling constantly and asking questions. Another phone was for specifically, and Allah knows best, for the students of knowledge who would come in, those students, those teachers, those Muslims who had reached a certain level, that would ask the Sheikh, rahimahullah, those questions. And also the ulama had that line with the students of knowledge and first and foremost. And the other line was for the people outside of Saudi Arabia, the people we call from Turkey, the people we call from Bangladesh, the people we call from India, the people who will be calling from America and Canada, the people who will be calling from Tibet, the people who will be calling from Korea, the people who will be calling from Australia. So you can only imagine a woman who's married to a man who's calling to Allah like Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, she has to learn not to waste her time. And she has to learn to be a person that doesn't soak and cry and be sorrowful and be saddened and go into depression and want to hang herself and want to use drugs and alcohol because she can't spend time with her husband. So she has to be a person, and one of the virtues of that woman is that she has to be a woman who learns not to waste her time. So when her husband's not around, or even when he is around, and he is in the room, and that phone rings, 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she has earned that piece of time. When that sheikh or that ayah, he's finished with his lecture, and he leaves the Islamic Center, or he leaves the masjid, as my wife has been putting up with me and being patient with me and having to learn, barakallahu fiha, how not to waste her time, when the people want to ask questions, and she's sitting there in the room waiting for him, or she's sitting in the car in the parking lot waiting for him. And he says to her, sweetheart, I'll be there in 15 minutes. And 15 minutes becomes 20 minutes. And 20 minutes becomes 30 minutes. And 30 minutes becomes 45 minutes. And 45 minutes becomes an hour. And an hour becomes an hour and 15 minutes. She has to either do one of two things. And one of them is not a virtue. And the other one is a virtue. The first one is not a virtue. And she says, in complaining, I can't take this. Come on now, time for you to go home. She starts crying or whatever. Or the second thing, she takes out her mushaf while she's waiting in the car, in that parking lot or whatever, or she spends her time in that room when the people come to visit him, and she reads the Quran. Or she tries to memorize the Ajrumiyya. Or she tries to memorize the Usul by Sheikh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. But one of the virtues of the woman who's married to one of those du'as is that she learns not to waste her time. Eventually, when she understands that she's going to get the reward, a similar reward as her husband who's picked up the banner, who's picked up the baton that's passed on to him by the ulama of Islam and doing the occupation of the prophets and the messengers, when she realizes the reality of that, she learns not to waste her time because she knows she's going to catch the vapors. She's going to get a piece of the action. She keeps her eye on the prize, understanding that this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the first virtues that woman who's going to be a wife to one of the du'as of al-Islam, calling to aqidat al-salafiyya and calling to manhaj al-salafi, is that she learns not to waste her time. The second virtue is that she benefits from the knowledge. That's a virtue that she gains, that the other women don't gain by being married to the man who picked up the banner, tried to take up the occupation of the prophets and the messengers, like the ulama of Islam, like Sheikh Al-Albani, and Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, and Sheikh Al-Uqbal, and the like. Rahmatullahi rahmatan wasi'atan alayhim. She gets the benefits firsthand. And it is similar to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in his book, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ لَطِيفًا خَبِيرًا. And remember, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks specifically to the wives, of the best of da'iyas that Allah created, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah was speaking specifically on the tongue of his messenger from this ayah to the wives of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, and remember and recite that which was revealed to you or came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your home. Remember and rehearse and recite of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that came down in the house of revelation. So those women, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our mothers, radiallahu ta'ala anhunna wa radahunna, they got firsthand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down on the heart of Muhammad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one of the benefits that a wife will get as a part of her virtue of sticking with that man and being married to that man is that she firsthand what Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan has said recently, what Sheikh Ubaid al-Jabri has said recently, the bayan of Sheikh Rabi' al-Madkhali, حَفِظُهُمْ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا, may Allah preserve and protect all of them. She firsthand, because her husband has spent 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours when everyone else is sleeping. He's sitting there with those books, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, or when it's time to eat. He puts that Tafsir Ibn Kathir, or that Tafsir al-Baghawi, رحمهم الله تعالى, next to that bowl that they eat out together, and he says, listen to this, or listen to that, or listen to the explanation of this ayah, or listen to the explanation of this hadith. Let me share this with you. But one of the virtues that that woman will get, by being married to the person who's a da'iyah, is that she benefits from the knowledge. Either that which that da'iyah has gotten from one of the ulama, or the real du'at, and not fight people who are lesser than them, but the real du'at, or that which she has, that which he has learned from some tape or some book that the ulama of Islam, rahimahumullahu jami'an, they have left for us as the legacy of this da'wah to salafiyya, the da'wah ila al-haq wa tawheed. One of the other virtues that that woman is going to gain is that she learns that she learns that what the ordinary Muslim, and when we mean ordinary Muslim, we mean the people who are not the next da'wah as an occupation. The masses of the Muslim. One of the virtues that she gains is that she learns what the ordinary common masses of the Muslims are going through in their lives, meaning the hardships that they go through in general, because her husband is constantly being like a doctor. Her husband is constantly being like a lawyer. Her husband is constantly being like a therapeutic counselor. Her husband is constantly being like a psychiatrist. وَلِعَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانِ. So she learns firsthand what are the ills that are plaguing the Muslim society. And she gains benefit from that. There's a virtue in that. This, because she's not going to that, inshallah ta'ala, and she's supposed to be more caring and more loving and more concerned with the problems that the Muslim ummah is going through, because her husband is one of the people who's giving da'wah to help it, to help cure the illnesses that are plaguing the society, especially those who live in the land of the kuffar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to get out of these countries of the kuffar and live in the land of the Muslim. One of the other virtues that the Muslim woman will get is getting the fawa'id, getting the benefit that her husband gains by visiting the ulama on trips. Because the person who's giving da'wah, in more cases than not, he's going to be a student of knowledge. And a student of knowledge is going to be the kind of person, if he understands theology, if he understands theology of being one of the students of knowledge / da'iyah, then he has to make that journey to visit the people of knowledge. So when he visits the country, for instance, of Saudi Arabia, and I'm saying specifically Saudi Arabia, because I don't know of any other place on the face of the planet Earth that has major ulama except for that kingdom of Saudi Arabia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the king. وتعالى keep Prince Crown, Prince Abdullah, keep from us Salat al-Mustaqeem, his heart for the deen, for the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make him salafiyun haqiqi. I don't know if any other country has major ulama outside of the country of Saudi Arabia. So I chose to say Saudi Arabia because it is first and foremost to fight with the Hizbiyun and the Harakiyun state. May Allah destroy them or break their backs or guide them to the way of the Dawah of Salafi. So when that student and that da'iyah, he goes out in search of those ulama, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to see their face and benefit from them, she's going to get many fawaid. Even though she, because she can't to mingle with the men, even though she can't go into the room where the ulama are, like my wife on many occasions, you know, she's cried, and I'm saying crying in the loose sense of the word, because she wanted to get a chance to see what Sheikh bin Baz looked like I did. And she wanted to get the chance to see Sheikh bin Albani like I did. And she wanted to get the chance to sit next to Sheikh Mukbel and see him like I did. But unfortunately, women don't get the chance to miss. So the woman who is married to the da'iyah, at least the da'iyah can go to the Sheikh's house and come out firsthand, not by product information. They can come out firsthand and tell her what the Sheikh says. Or even more than that, if he's really caring for her and he really is kind to her, he can say, come sweetheart, and stand in front of the house of the Sheikh, Sheikh Rabia, or sit in the car, and when it's time to go to the masjid, we go to the masjid, I'll point with my hand like this and say, that's the Sheikh. When I point with two fingers like this and say, this one right here to my right is the Sheikh. Or when it's time to go see Sheikh Muhammad Jamil Zainal, who a lot of the people took to this day, they leave him out when they mention the ulama. Hafizuhu Allahu Ta'ala. Because the Sheikh Muhammad Jamil Zainal is one who was always known and is always known for trying to implement and teach the students practically. He is that Sheikh. But when you leave his house, he has one person on the right-hand side of him and one person on the left-hand side of him, and he'll grab their hands and he'll walk down the street and he'll say to them, okay, which one of you brothers knows the dua when you go to the masjid? So if his wife, the da'iyah's wife, is down the road a little bit, a distance, not intermingling with the men and not trying to get close, he can say to her, I'm going to show you Sheikh Muhammad Jamil Zainal. Here he is right here, the one who's holding our hand. So she gets many, many fires from being married to that person. But at the same time, she has to be patient. She has to be tolerant. She has to be patient and tolerant with the person who's a da'iyah. Because there's a cons of being married to the da'iyah. There are some disadvantages, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. May Allah forgive me if I'm using the wrong word. There's some negatives or some disadvantages of being married to the da'iyah. And one of the big that comes to my mind is that she has to constantly seek refuge with Allah from the evil eye and hasad, jealousy and envy. She has to constantly seek refuge with Allah from the evil eye, from the ayn and the hasad, the jealousy and the envy. Because there's always someone who does not like what that da'iyah preaches. And there's always someone that wants to harm that da'iyah and say something bad about him. Or even in these days, like in the days of cold, physical harm. Like those Hizbis, may Allah destroy them, utterly destroy them. May Allah destroy them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy them. Like those Hizbis who physically attack Sheikh Ubaylan. And those Hizbis who tried to take the microphone from Sheikh Muhammad Aman al-Jami and strike him. May Allah destroy them. Or guide them back through the way of a Salafi. So that particular da'iyah who has a wife, when that da'iyah goes outside, as soon as she's out, she should know that her husband, the da'iyah to Allah, the da'iyah to Tawheed, the da'iyah to As-Sunnah al-Mutahara, she should know Muhammad is a mujahid, and he's going out in jihad. That every single time her husband goes out to give dawah, that every single time he answers the phone, that every single time he's sitting for hours at the computer typing, even though there's some people, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them, who have this mistaken, this notion, they have this mistaken idea that if not from the dawah, as well as the computer to get dawah, may Allah guide those people. Because that dawah, when he sits at the table, he sits at the keyboard, and he carpal tunnel syndrome, and his wrist starts to swell up because he's spending hours and hours and hours typing, taking a reputation, then she should know that she has to be patient and tolerant of what's going on because her husband is a mujahid. Her husband is a mujahid. Her husband is a mujahid. So she learns enormous patience. She learns enormous tolerance. She learns how to be a woman who is sabira, sabura, sabara. She is a woman who has to be patient with the job that her husband has picked up. And that is definitely a con and a pro at the same time. Because there are people who are going to harm her husband. There are people who are once tried to maim her husband, either literally or figuratively. Also, one of the pros or one of the virtues that the women of Al-Islam who are married to the people of dawah, a dawah to salafiyah specifically enforced, because there's no dawah better than a dawah to salafiyah, and every single dawah other than salafiyah is khalafiyah and is baatila. One of the virtues that that particular person is going to get, that woman, is she's going to be able to assist her husband by whatever way possible in his dawah efforts. And assisting her husband may take any form whatsoever of goodness. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَعَاوَنَ عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالْتَقْوَى. So the woman who is married to the da'iya, she's going to assist her husband in acts of righteousness and piety. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَمِنَ السَّعَادَةِ. And from the felicities, and from the happiness, and from the joys of this dunya, is al-mar'atu salihah, is a righteous woman. Taraha fatu'ajfuka, fatagheebu anha, fata'minaha, ta'minuha ala nafsika wa malik. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from the happiness of this dunya, is a righteous woman. When you see her, she pleases you. So there's no doubt whatsoever that every time that da'iya walks in the house, every time he walks in the house from a long journey, whether it's 2 weeks of da'wah or 3 weeks of da'wah, and now 40 days of da'wah like Jamaat Tabligh, Surah Al-Fatiha, but when he comes back in the house from calling the people to Tawheed, whether it was for 3 hours or 5 hours or a day or 3 days or a week or a month, when he comes into the house, she's beautified for him. She makes her hair look pretty for him. She makes her face look pretty for him. She makes her body smell good for him. And this is going to assist him in his dawah, because when he comes back, he's going to be worn out. He's going to be stressed out. He's going to be tired, and she's going to get the benefit just by making herself look good for him. She's going to get that benefit, and this is an assistance for him. This is an aid for him, because she's going to relieve him of the burden of the stresses of the dunya of this world. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Atu'ajibuka wa taghibu anha wa ta'minuha 'ala nafsika wa malik." So when he leaves her, when he's absent, he's still safe. He's still safe and secure pertaining to herself and pertaining to his property, pertaining to your property. And this is one of the virtues of the women that are married to people of dawah. Also, one of the virtues that that woman has to have is, or she thinks being married to da'iya, is that she becomes more responsible for the needs of the family, where other women, they might be able to have more of the luxuries of this life. The woman who's married to a man who is a people of dawah, in most cases, he is not going to have those particular things. Allah and his messenger and the home of the hereafter. Then verily Allah has prepared for the muhsinat, the good doers among you, an enormous reward. Likewise, the person who gives dawah, he usually doesn't have any money. And this is one of the glamorous things, or the seemingly glamorous things, that the sisters who want to marry the du'at, they think that it's a glamorous life. Believe me, sisters, it's not a glamorous life. The woman who wants to marry the da'ya, that life is not glamorous, even though it has tremendous reward. So if you desire the pomp and glitter, then the da'ya is not the man you should stand to marry. If you desire to have those things that other women have in the dunya, then don't marry the da'ya. If you desire to have a whole lot of time with your husband, then don't marry the da'ya. But if you desire to have that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in his book, in pleasing Allah, one Rasul, but that in Akhirah, if you desire to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَدَّ لِلْمُحْسِنَاتِ مِنْ كُلَّ أَجْرٍ عَظِيمًا. Then Allah has promised good doers from among you an immense reward. So that woman, she has to understand that when she's married to one of the people of da'wah, then her husband, in most cases, he's not going to be one of the people who's going to have a lot to offer her from the world. He's not going to be one of the people who's going to be able to offer her a lot from this dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who bestows patience when we ask for the patience. And we have a story of one of the women of the past that we find this narration that is collected by Al-Hakim, that is found in Ibn Kathir Al-Asaba, on the thought of Ash'aba Ash'abiyu, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said, أن كعب بن الثور كان جالس عند عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه فجاءت امرأة فقالت يا أمير المؤمنين ما رأيت رجلا قط أفضل من زوجي والله إنه ليبيت ليله قائما ويظل نهاره صائما فاستغفر لها وأثنى عليها واستحيت المرأة وقامت راجعة. الشعبي رحمه الله تعالى, he narrated that Ka'b ibn al-Thur was sitting with Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله تعالى عنه. And then a woman came and she said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I haven't seen a man ever that is more virtuous and more superior than my husband. I swear by Allah that he sends his sight standing. And he makes the shade of his day, he spends his days, he covers his days with fast. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he sought forgiveness for that woman. And he praised, told that woman. And the woman, she became shy and she got up and she left. فَقَالَ كَعَبْ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ يا أمير المؤمنين هل أعزيت المرأة على زوجها فلقد أبلغت إليك سقفا. So Ka'b رحمه الله تعالى, he says, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, why didn't you assist her paying for her husband? Why didn't you assist and aid the woman in her complaint that has come to you about her husband complaining? Why did you persist her? فَقَالَ لِكَعْبٍ and Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said to Ka'b, اقضي إِلَهُمَا فَإِنَّكَ فَهِمْتَ مِنْ أَمْرِهَا مَا لَمْ أَفْهَمْ. He said, Ka'b ibn al-Thur, you judge between the two of them, meaning this man and his wife, for surely understand her affair better than I understand. قال, فإني أرى كأنها امرأت عليها ثلاث نصفة هي رابعتهن فأقضي بثلاثة أيام ولياليهن يتعبد فيهن ولها يوم وليلة. So Ka'b
رضي رحمه الله تعالى says, the way that I see this woman's state, the way that I see her circumstance, is that she is a woman that is like a woman that her husband has three other wives, and she's the fourth one. So I would make judgment saying to this woman's face that have 3 days and 3 nights for her husband, that he can worship Allah in them, and the other day and the night is for her herself. And this is the case of a woman who's married to a da'iyah. This is the case of a woman who has sacrificed herself. This is the virtue of the woman who has to sacrifice herself when it comes to being married to the one of the people of the tower. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنَّا أُدِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ أَنَّنِي لَا أُدِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, so their Lord accepted from them. The Lord answered them. He answered the invocation. And Sa'id ibn Mansur, he recorded that Salama, a man from among the family of Umm Salama, that he said, that she said, Umm Salama said, O Messenger of Allah, Allah does not mention the women in connection with Hijra. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down that ayah, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنِّي لَا أُدِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُنَّ مَنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. So Allah reveals, so their Lord accepted of them their supplication and answered them, never will I allow to be lost the work of any of you, be he male or female. So my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, dear listeners and especially the, you should understand that the virtues of the Muslim woman who's married to the da'iyah, the one who calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are many. They are many virtues. But there are also those negatives that if she doesn't implement and she doesn't practice those things that come as a part of the job, occupation, as a part of the nature of the job, that those things that are occupational hazards, those things that come along with the turf, that if he utilizes those things properly, she'll get a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he has decided to be a part of, which is the husband, the wife of one of those who's calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said in the fourth part of the Thalathat al-Usul, al-Rabi'a, al-Sabru ala al-Adha fihi, patiently forbearing and bearing any harm countered upon that way. She has to be also patient the harm that her husband, as we mentioned earlier, is going to get. She has to also be patient with the women who want to marry her husband, as we mentioned earlier, that they it's a glamorous life. And sometimes they pause, or another might come to her and whisper to her and might make her do what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it wasn't permissible to do. For instance, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يحل لامرأة تسأل طلاق أختها لتستبرغ صحتها فإنما لها ما قدر لها. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is not lawful, not permissible, not halal for a woman to ask for the divorce of her sister. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he said, this means sister, blood sister, and it also means sister in Islam, and it also means a sister, meaning a kafira, meaning her husband has a Muslim wife or a kafir wife. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يحل لِمْرَأَةٍ تسأل طلاق أختها لتستبرغ صحبتها فإنما لها من قدر لها. It is not lawful for a woman to ask for the divorce of her sister in order to have everything for herself. For she will take only what has been written for her. And this is an experience that many of the du'as have come across. The wives, that is. That the wives of the du'as will find women trying to remove them from their position. or they'll find that they want to marry their husbands, thinking that it's something glamorous to be married to the one of the people of da'wah. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala al-musta'an. And also, brothers and sisters in al-Islam, one of the virtues that the women of al-Islam who's married to the da'iyah that she's going to get is that she is a person that understands reality of dunya. She understands the reality of the dunya, and she understands that in understanding the reality of the dunya, that her husband essentially is going to die, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has it written that he dies before her, she understands, not like five of the prophets sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that their wives could not marry anyone after him, but she understands the reality of the dunya, that what she has lost was a great benefit. Because if she marries the common brother who doesn't have those benefits and doesn't have those virtues and has not taken up the job and the occupation of the prophets and the messengers alayhi wa sallam, then she sees her own. If she decides to get married again, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, she sees that that particular person that she marries, if he is not one of the people of power, or if he is not a student of knowledge, calling the people or learning about this deen in a technical sense, she sees the great benefit that she loves, because this dunya, all of it is first. As the Prophet, as I say in conclusion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that the dunya, all of it is first, except for the scholar and the student of knowledge and the zikr of Allah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam. Subhanakallahu wa hamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And inshallah, we want to take a few questions, inshallah, if we can. But it's time for salatu wa asr. And if you allow me to come back in 15 minutes, it's time to make karma. Barakallahu feek.
Now, inshallah, I think we'll take a 15-minute break now and resume at approximately 10 minutes to 3, inshallah.
Inshallah, I will return, inshallah.
Okay, we'll call you back, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum assalam.
Huda wa ba'd. We'd like to continue and then finish, inshallah, with some of the verses or the nasiha to the wives of the callers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the nasihahs that we like to give to the sisters, which is a virtue that will become for her, is that she has to become more responsible to the needs of the family. And she has become less dependent upon her husband, because he's the one that services the people. He's the one who's looking after the affairs of the Muslims in general. So she has to know that the bulk of the responsibility of teaching the children is going to be on her. It's not going to be on him. This is a very important issue for the woman who is married to Daya, as she has become more responsible for the needs of family than more than he would, and she has to become less dependent upon her husband because he's the one who's servicing the Muslim, the master Muslim. And this is why I've always told my wife that my other wife is a Muslim. A man who is in power always has more than one wife. Meaning, if he has one wife, he actually has two wives. Because his second wife is a Muslim. If he has two wives, he always has three wives. Because his third wife is a Muslim. If he has three wives, then he has actually four wives. Because the fourth wife is the Muslim. And if he has four wives, wallahu muwaffaq, then the fifth wife is going to be legal, is going to be his right-hand spouse, which is a Muslim. So that woman, she has to spend more time and learn that she has to spend more time to be more responsible for the needs of the family, like the children, specifically, and in general, the other house affairs. Because that person, who she's married as a daya, is going to be spending less time with the children and more time with Muslims at large. And this is a that we wanted to end with, inshallah, for the sisters. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله عليه وسلم.
إن شاء الله I will take the first question from Pop-up, إن شاء الله.
Okay. Questioner asks, what can Nadia's wife do if she feels she has so little time with her husband that it is affecting her iman and that she does not benefit from the knowledge and good company that he has? What is the advice to this individual?
His ex outkept that sister. It's a sin who takes time that she's not with her husband and stand up night, qiyam al-layl, and seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sleep and get a better relationship with her Lord or Rabbul Alameen and try to summarize as much time as she can with that time that she's not with her husband and try to learn about the Arabic language as she can and try to learn as much about the Tawheed of Islam as she can and try to learn, summarize as many of these questions as she can. And then ask her husband to separate himself for a brief moment from the affairs of the Muslims, to spend time with his wife, and I'm sure after he does all of those things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give her some relief.
Thank you, inshallah. The first question we have from the sisters here is the question I asked. Should the woman who is married to a da'i give advice or guidance to others when the husband is not around?
The answer to this question is yes and no. The answer is yes if she has ability to. Because as we remember, just the meaning of Allah, he said that ayah, هَذِهِ سَئِلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى الصِّرَةِ. Hey, this is my way I call Allah the Sirah. I call to Allah with Basira. You know what they mean? He said Basira, one of the aspects of Basira, of seeing by knowledge, their knowledge, is that the person who's giving the power to themselves to have knowledge. So if the answer is yes, if she has knowledge, then she can do that. But if she doesn't have knowledge, then she's going to face her husband to come, or she's going to direct that she to someone other than her husband. Because she at once takes stakes and say something is wrong. In many cases, if her husband is very active in power, and she's with him, or he can hear him and hear, then she'll pick up for these things. Like I remember one time, I heard my wife ask a question on the phone. And she spent maybe like 20 or 25 minutes, the sister who was asked, who called to ask the question. And when she hung up the phone, I asked, where did you learn that? How did you know that? It was critical. I said, where did you learn that? He said, I learned that hearing you ask these questions for so many years, over and over and over again, I learned it from you. So there's definitely still a sin in it, and she has the ability to sin that she should do it. If she doesn't, she should not do it.
The next question we have, when the brothers are not giving da'wah to the people, what type of activities or how should they be utilized free time with their family and with their wife?
Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, to ask the question, how did the brother deal with his family? She said, when he was inside, he dealt with the affairs of the Muslim. And when he was inside, he dealt with the affairs of the Muslim. So if he's inside, then he should be trying to deal with the affairs of the family as he can. But unfortunately, in our present case, and with the modern technology, we have cell phones, we have the fax phones, we have the internet, we have the GSM, we have the cable, we have the regular landline telephone, we have the email, we have all these things on which keep the time of the Prophet ﷺ. They come as one narration, Shaykh Abu, rahimahullah, he in the Surah Al-Sahih, how the fingertip, the tips of the fingers he heard on the Prophet's door, meaning he used to constantly come to the Prophet's house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today, you don't have space for people to come to da'is as much as people did in the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we do have calling the house, and we do have people emailing the da'is, du'a. So the woman needs to be, she needs to be patient with the particular situation, and when they will try to come to him, then inshallah, he tries to curb it as much as he can, and give time to the family. And this one of the big with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We said in the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhal amanu, إذا نسيت فصل تقدموا فينا يجواب صدق ذلك خير لكم وأفضل فإن تجد فإن الله غفور رحيم أأشفقتم تقدموا بين يجواب صدقات فإن تفعلوا فتاب الله عليه فأقصوا الصلاة فآتوا الزكاة وأطيعوا الله ورسوله والله خبير بما تفعلون. A rough translation of this or the ayah, O you who believe, do you want to have a private consultation with the Prophet, with the Messenger of Allah sallam, فَقَدِّمُوا بَيْنِيَا تَجَوَاكُمْ صَدَقَ. Then give before you come some sadaqa. This was to relieve Prophet who cometh to ask so many questions, so that he spends time with family and others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had it in particular incident, and some of the ulama only last one day, and the companion that was the only one to do it was Ali, out of all the companions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the companions to relieve Prophet from coming to the house all the time, sitting in for us day and night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَدِّمُوا إِلَيَا تَجَوَاكُمْ صَدَقَةً. Spend charity before you ask questions. In other words, you want to ask questions, just pay. And so Allah says, أَشْفَقَتُمْ أَنْ تَقَدِّمُوا بَيْنِ يَدَيْنَا جَوَاكُمْ صَدَقَةً. So are you having any fear of giving this charity before you come to have a private conversation with the messenger? فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا. So if you're not able to do it, فَتَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Then Allah will repent it for Allah will accept your repentance. فَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ and establish salah, وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ and pay the zakah, وَأَطِعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ and obey Allah and His Messenger, وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَفْعَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, is aware of what you do. And Allah lifted that burden off of the companions having to pay sadaqah. I had someone tell me to give me one time a family. They said, okay, food. People always calling you. Constantly calling you on your phone. Constantly calling you in the house phone. Constantly calling you now on the message phone. Why don't you charge the people a fee to ask the question? I asked the brother, I said, are you crazy? This is a right Muslims have on me. I cannot charge the Muslim for counsel. I cannot charge the Muslim for answering questions. So the person who's a da'iyah, he has learned how to balance time, he has learned how to be a good time. And may Allah ta'ala help the brothers out at sea, because unfortunately he's not that.
Next question, inshallah. The sister asks, should she put the dawah first over her family? For example, memorizing an ayah from the Quran when dinner time is pending.
Does she need the time to feed family? Should she feed family first or use the time to memorize the Quran? Is that what she means?
It seems to be saying that if she has two things to do and both of them are very important, like making dinner or preparing the kids to get them dressed or whatever she has to do, should she put that over memorizing the Quran and, I guess, preparing herself to be a da'i or what have you, memorizing the books and so on?
It's better for that woman to prepare the house, the clean house, to fix food, to keep those children ready. It's better for her to do that for us. It's better. And then Allah Ta'ala will give her time for us.
Next question from Paul Clark is, if there is a woman who has children but she's divorced, is it allowable for her to go out to the masjid to seek knowledge and to attend the Salatul Jummah if she is a divorced woman? Is this permissible for her?
We're going to send this question, inshallah, to Fatwa Online or one of the appropriate fellow sites for the ulama of Islam to answer that question.
We have one more from the Power Talk, which related to the topic. As far as the sisters, can they act a role in da'wah? For instance, if they were to have studied or have some ilm, is it allowable for them to give lectures to the women?
This question has been asked in more detail than I was able to do it. I shared Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Faz. rahimahullah ta'ala, and we can find this line in many places. The Shaykh answers to the women who ask in the da'wah. That is the question that has been answered. And the answer, of course, in general is yes. And we said that our beloved father and Shaykh filled the muhaddith of Diyar al-Yemen, rahimahullah ta'ala, we found that Brother Abu Hassan Malik Akhtar, Habibullah Ta'ala, he has informed me, because he was there and I was not, that Sheikh Muqtil, he would very rarely not spend, he would not spend time with general students, but he would take Thursdays, and it seems as though the Sheikh, I'm saying this myself, it seems as though the Sheikh was following the Prophet's Salah, like Hadith al-Bukhari, on the story of Abd ibn Masud, that Allah Ta'ala knows best, that Thursdays set aside the women's feet. Because the women were complaining about having sex. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spends Thursdays only for the women. And Shaykh Muqtil used to do this with his daughter, and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, his daughter is now a alima, mufassira, faqiha, muhaddisa. So, if women want to serve, they want to take power, then they do it, provide it, do it, finish. And that's rahimahullah has mentioned.
The question I ask, what advice would you give to sisters whose husband wishes to take a second wife or a third wife or what have you?
If you can't do it, then don't do it. Be into it, and there's faith more in it, doing it. If he's not able to do it, then don't do it. If he's able to do it, then it's faith to and bless to it. As today, if I may, Nabi al-Sin, rahimahullah ta'ala, and a Qur'an al-Fayt, Tafad, min sharh kitab al-Tuhid, min sharh kitab al-Tuhid, selected it from the explanation of book kitab al-Tuhid. Check what they mean, and I just tell of these thoughts, he says, as zulm or oppression is three types. The first type of oppression is as zulm fi haqqillah, the zulm or oppression that stands by Allah. And the Shaykh says, فَهَذَا الشِّرْ وَهُوَ أَظْلَمُ الظُّلْمِ. He says that shirk is that the worst of all oppression, to make partner with Allah. He says second type of shirk of oppression is zulm, zulm al-iman ta ghayri. It's the oppression a person does to another individual. And that oppression that he puts to another individual, and this might be the third one, and Allah knows best, the third one it is to kill someone, unjustified. And the second one, that is, excellent, is the oppression that the person does himself. And the Shaykh says that type of oppression is placed on the person themselves, that they cannot bear. To put a burden upon themselves, they cannot handle, that they cannot carry. So if the man is sick, then he should quit. It's a virtuous act instead of for the men, women, and the men. But if the man is fit, he should not oppress himself. Wallahu musta'an.
Sister is asking if Abu Tasneem, if you know what the ulama say in regards to women traveling to seek knowledge. For instance, there's a seminar coming up, and the sister's asking if it is permissible for a sister who are not married, who are single, to travel at this to attend the seminars.
Allah Ta'ala has not allowed a woman to travel without a mahram. Allah Ta'ala has not allowed a woman to travel without a mahram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not allowed the woman to travel without a mahram, and if she can't pass one of the five rules of Islam, Hajj, then how much more do us from other than that? Barakallahu fikum. I'll see you inshallah.
Jazakumullah.
Jazakumullah.
Fikum barakallahu.